from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Sox Machine.
James Fegan, White Sox reporter for SoxMachine.com.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
Yes, James.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. Let's check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine. Machine.
Tonight, the Crosstown Series resumes on the South Side as the Cubs and Sox get it on. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:35. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 7:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Here to try to explain what the White Sox are doing is James Fegan. He is on Twitter at JR Fegan and with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. All right, James, we saw what happened, then we heard what happened. What I want to ask you is, why did so much of this seem to propagate from a news perspective? They put out the original release about Pedro, and then it was, I think James disappeared. I think the Cylons.
He just texted me that his internet dropped. So
oh no!
Oh, the Cylons got him.
I think the White Sox don't want him to answer your what I think is a really interesting question.
They sent somebody to James' house to cut the cords.
I think
outside.
They did. I think they did. They got some sitting outside with like the hard hat.
We won't have any of this Sox Machine happening.
Nope. They have pulled the plug
on the machine.
On the Sox Machine. If the machine doesn't work, what happens? Is there a backup generator on the Sox Machine? It just seemed very strange to me. It's like, Pedro has been let go. What about other people? Give us a few minutes here.
Give us a couple of hours.
Yeah, wait.
That guy's fired. That guy's fired. And that guy's fired.
And this other guy's fired.
Yeah. A texter asks, hey, guys, how many more Sox segments you doing today? This will be the last
this
one.
Is it?
For a while.
Good question. But we figured that this is...
For a while. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. Believe me.
We're going to get the baseball information, and then we're going to...
Get it up out of here.
Get it up out of here.
Get it upstairs and get it up
out
of here.
There's a lot of football for us to discuss.
Uh-huh.
We have already, you know, we've been talking White Sox contingency like as a show since May.
Believe me, I totally get what you're talking about in that regard. We understand
We understand.
More than you know, we understand.
Trust.
So James Fegan is here. James, hi.
What a metaphor for the season.
Right? Perfect. So why did the order of events happen yesterday the way it did, where you announced Pedro's firing, and then we find out through various reports, oh, this person's also fired. Oh, so is this person. Like, why didn't they wait and then do a full release and a full accounting of what they were actually doing?
Yeah, pretty hard to sit in on manager firing for more than like 2 minutes. It's like one of the questions to Getz yesterday was like, did he tell the players yet? And like, you really can't. You can't have that sort of thing hold it under wraps very long. I think you want to make the gap between firing the manager and notifying and not having it something be leaked out as small as possible. And thus the window between, oh yeah, we fired some assistants as well, has a bit of a gap. I think it was more smooth than 2020 when Rick Renneria got fired and we're 10 minutes into the Zoom and Rick Hahn said, oh, by the way, Don Cooper is gone after 20 years in the organization, or I think more than that. So, yeah, it's disjointed, but you really can't, like, hold the manager is gone for, like, potentially 2 hours as you're getting all your ducks in a row. I think that'd be a chaotic situation.
Why do you think they felt now was the time to fire Pedro?
I mean, that would be a Jerry question. I think, the front office is probably ready for that for a while. I mean, Getz even said on record that there was something being discussed for weeks, if not months. And I think if he's openly allowing months, it's probably means it was fairly safely in that territory. Certainly, yeah. My impression from talking to people is that the addition chairman of realizing that this wasn't the guy that they wanted to keep going with was something that was very early decided and was alluded to in saying that there were fundamental disconnects between him and Grifol, once he started working with them on an everyday basis. I think this just was a lot of, it's weird because like there's multiple breaking points that would have any other organization, I think, would have fired him. 3-22 start, a franchise record losing streak. Just the way they were playing into the All-Star break and that, providing a clean break, a new record breaking losing streak. But the combination of getting free of having to talk about that, but also, an off day and a chance to make a clean break out before a new homestand, I guess was the, super perfect storm where I think in the movie, it's like three storms blending together, whereas this is more like six or seven, but it finally got, Jerry to the point where this was something he was found palatable.
Why Grady Sizemore for the rest of this to limp to the finish, and why rule him out as a managerial prospect afterward?
I mean, Sizemore as opposed to one of like Grifol's like top lieutenants, or in the case of like Tozar and Eddie Rodriguez, people he's been working with for decades across multiple organizations, or Charlie Montoya, someone who's brought in by the previous front office and kind of an arranged marriage. I get that in terms of somebody they're kind of more lockstep with. Grady Sizemore's super tight with Josh Barfield, who kind of got him into coaching. I understand that they view that as maybe a less weird lame duck or arranged marriage status the rest of the season, even though it's not the level of experience that you typically associate with managers. I guess there's more clarity, and in terms of like Getz really wanting to stake out as a tent and wanting to run a manager search and having his own list of candidates that he already had in mind, I think basically what we've seen over the last couple of years of White Sox employee decisions is if you provide ownership the option to stand pat and not do a search and just keep the guy in house already, that might be what they lean to. And so if you have a real mind to hire someone from outside the organization, someone who's currently working and not someone who you're going to coax out of retirement, staking out those terms as early as definitively as possible increases your probability of realizing that. But as we well know, it would not guarantee that of happening.
How, if everything were to go really well, would you imagine that the White Sox could dig themselves out of where they're at organizationally?
To what degree? I think to be a team, that they talk about in terms of like, we want to compete in the AL Central again, or just simply not in a permanent down cycle. Sure. To kind of fulfill the promise of the rebuild in 2017, where they're going to be waves and waves of talent and perennial contenders and multiple championships, I don't see how they become one of those elite heavy hitter organizations. And frankly, kind of asking what them at the time back in 2019, like, what do you think your competitive advantage over teams like the Dodgers, which are where you're going to compete with if you're saying you're going to do multiple championship runs? I don't know if they had a vision for that at the time. So how do they get back to that point? I don't know. I think that they have to become a fundamentally different organization some standpoint where they have a higher budget, whether that's, you know, revenue from a new stadium or just a different owner, I think is the kind of point we're winding to eventually. That's probably what needs to some sort of larger systemic change, certainly something far bigger than a managerial change is what we're talking about when we're saying, like, can they be compete with the Dodgers and Braves and Yankees and Red Sox on a regular basis? Yeah, that seems like not something that can be achieved by just Skip Shoemaker. But as far as like getting back to a team that's like not the dregs of, a bad division, certainly having a better year than most this year, I think that can become with like, you know, just building up a large prospect base and having communication between the manager and the general manager that makes sense. Achievable, but not what anyone was dreaming of or what was sold back in 2016, 2017.
I've let that dream go because I think that, you know, the architects of it are even gone. So it doesn't make sense to hold them to that vision. But
I think it's still a good idea for a team to think that we should be one of the dominant teams in the league.
I agree.
Yes. Yes.
I agree too. With that. But that's why I'm wondering how long does something like this, because this, it seems to me, James, and you would know better, that this is something that doesn't change without there being a huge expenditure of money for major league talent. And there's been, with this current ownership group, there really hasn't been a time when they did that. So if you're going to try and do it from a trade and minor league point of view, that feels like it's going to take a really long time to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when does the money come is kind of the question. And, you know, they're mid-level teams, and certainly this team has gotten up to, like, 190 in payroll in the past. If you support that with, like, a really great, like, homegrown core, like, that's, you know, viable for making the playoffs or, you know, making a run of some kind. But when would this core be ready? Certainly in the Cease trade talks, it seemed like they were targeting a lot of people double A or higher, and that was like the bulk of that return. That made you think that they're eyeing something more in like the 2-year window, but that was really hard to get kind of the positional talent that they wanted that ready. Teams weren't really pry that. So you saw this deadline, which I think was underwhelming as a whole, a lot more A ball guys. And, you know, I'm watched, you know, talk to people about him and read reports. I like Haral Perez, but that guy's in low A and he's 19 years old. So I think even if you centered everything around like Colson Montgomery and Edgar Caro and Brian Ramos, those are guys who will probably debut, you know, if one of them cracks through like this season, that would be crazy, but probably debut next season would be their rookie years. And then it's 1 or 2 years before you really think like they're really hitting their stride and peak. And if that's, you know, how long it takes to really get your core up and running, then we're talking about like this team maybe not being super relevant until like 2027. At least in terms of like a national scale or talking about winning a division. So yeah, without money, and I think at the very least a reasonable expectation is that the homegrown core would be the forefront and the money is kind of supplementing it. It seems like it could be 3 years away in terms of really talking about this team. Like what can they assert themselves on the national stage and be a heavy hitter in the playoffs.
So who wants the managerial job then? With everything you just said, I am staying so far away from this. You have to be the youngest, hungriest, or the oldest, most desperate to even want a second meeting if they're not going to pay a premium. Like, why should I have this aggravation? Why do I want to run your baseball team? And if you say, look, there's a number on this piece of paper that says why, then we're talking. But other than that, like a buy-in or a fit or a true believer in this, that's why it's going to be somebody who has to be another one of these insular hires, because anybody else from the outside is going to look at this and be like, yeah, no, thank you.
I mean, I thought it was telling that Chris Getz like referenced Stephen Vogt because not because they're going to, you know, poach away Stephen Vogt, but, you know, that's new to managing, you know, not necessarily going to get this opportunity at a legacy organization without maybe more time in the coaching ranks. Someone who's not going to command like a 5-year deal the way, you know, as ESPN Jesse Rogers, you know, I think adeptly asking if that's something that if they would go beyond their traditional 3-year offer to really make a bid that contends for like the top managers in the game. That sort of mold of like, let's find an up and coming managerial prospect and hope we like, you know, hit blackjack on it, I think would be something more in their range. But it's funny, I've criticized this organization for kind of the way they spend. They can only shop top of the market at like these lower cost positions. Like you can get a really expensive closer because that basically costs like the price of an average right fielder. Manager is one of the spots where spending at the top of the scale is cheaper than trying to like, you know, sign Juan Soto. So you think like the White Sox are usually advantageous, like, well, we're going to go above market for Cuban amateurs in the market because that, you know, doesn't cost as much as like, you know, spending top in free agency. You can spend top in managers and not, you know, what you spend $40 million, which is like, you know, kind of a number four starter on the free agency market. It's a cheaper way to, it's cheaper to get a, like a top flight manager. It costs about as much as like signing Michael Wacha in free agency. So you'd think it'd be something that they could put up their sleeve, but I would especially, you know, I think more try to find a top prospect who's excited to get his first opportunity and the managing gigs, which, you know, you'd think would be maybe Grady Sizemore, but they've kind of already eliminated him to more of the let's target a top bench coach in another organization, or let's try to get, you know, Skip Schumacher as he's, you know, becoming kind of flukily available.
It sounds like to me that you're going to see the manager change dugouts tonight. You know, Craig Counsell to the White Sox confirmed. Thanks, James. We appreciate you breaking it down for us.
I guess like the previous thing I staked my reputation on my own podcast is that Chris Flexen is a primetime performer. So maybe this is like less out of the box than that, but still, please put in the newspaper that I was mostly kidding.
We will. Dan, you know anyone at the newspaper?
No, I think that was a drill tweet reference. That's awesome. That's outstanding. Please don't put in the newspaper that I'm mad.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever.
Of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sox Machine.
James Fegan, White Sox reporter for SoxMachine.com.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
Yes, James.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. I'd have checked the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine. Sox Machine.
Tonight, the Crosstown Series resumes on the South Side as the Cubs and Sox get it on. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:35. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 7:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Here to try to explain what the White Sox are doing is James Fegan. He is on Twitter at JR Fegan. And with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, Twitch.tv/Chicago 670 The Score. All right, James, we saw what happened. Then we heard what happened. What I want to ask you is, why did so much of this seem to propagate from a news perspective? They put out the original release about Pedro, and then it was, I think James disappeared. I think the Cylons.
He just texted me that his internet dropped. So
Oh,
the Cylons got him.
I think the White Sox don't want him to answer your what I think is a really interesting question.
They sent somebody to James' house to cut the cords.
I think they did. They got some sitting outside with like the hard hat.
We won't have any of this Sox machine happening.
Nope. They have pulled the plug
on the machine.
On the Sox machine. If the machine doesn't work, what happens? Is there a backup generator on the Sox machine? It just seemed very strange to me. It's like, Pedro has been let go. What about other people? Give us a few minutes here.
Give us a couple of hours.
Yeah, wait.
That guy's fired. That guy's fired. And that guy's fired.
And this other guy's fired.
Yeah. A texter asks, hey, guys, how many more Sox segments you doing today? This will be the last
this
one.
Is it?
For a while.
Good question. But we figured that this is...
For a while. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. Believe me.
We're going to get the baseball information, and then we're going to...
Get it up out of here. Get it upstairs, and get it up out of here.
There's a lot of football for us to discuss.
Uh-huh.
We have already, you know, we've been talking White Sox contingency like as a show since May.
Believe me, I totally get what you're talking about in that regard. We understand
We understand.
More than you know, we understand.
Trust.
So James Fegan is here. James, hi.
What a metaphor for the season.
Right? Perfect. So why did the order of events happen yesterday the way it did, where you announced Pedro's firing, and then we find out through various reports, oh, this person's also fired. Oh, so is this person. Like, why didn't they wait and then do a full release and a full accounting of what they were actually doing?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to sit in on manager firing for more than like 2 minutes. It's like one of the questions to Getz yesterday was like, did he tell the players yet? And like, you really can't. You can't have that sort of thing hold it under wraps very long. I think you want to make the gap between firing the manager and notifying and not having it something be leaked out as small as possible, and thus the window between we fired some assistants as well, has a bit of a gap. I think it was more smooth than 2020 when Rick Renneria got fired and we're 10 minutes into the Zoom and Rick Hahn said, oh, by the way, Don Cooper is gone after 20 years in the organization, or I think more than that. So yeah, it's disjointed, but you really can't like hold the manager is gone for like, you know, potentially 2 hours as you're getting all your ducks in a row. I think that'd be a chaotic situation.
Why do you think they felt now was the time to fire Pedro?
I mean, that would be a Jerry question. I think, you know, the front office is probably ready for that for a while. I mean, Getz even said on record that there was something being discussed for weeks, if not months. And I think if he's openly allowing months, it's probably means it was fairly safely in that territory. Certainly my impression from talking to people is that the district chairman of realizing that this wasn't the guy that they wanted to keep going with, was something that was very early decided and was alluded to in saying that there were fundamental disconnects between him and Grifol, once he started working with them on an everyday basis. I think this just was a lot of, it's weird because like there's multiple breaking points that would have any other organization, I think, would have fired him. 3-22 start, a franchise record losing streak, just the way they were playing into the All-Star break and that, you know, providing a clean break, a new record breaking losing streak. But the combination of getting free of having to talk about that, but also, an off day and a chance to make a clean break out before a new homestand, I guess was the, super perfect storm where I think in the movie it's like three storms blending together, whereas this is more like six or seven. But it finally got, Jerry to the point where this was something he was found palatable.
Why Grady Sizemore for the rest of this to limp to the finish, and why rule him out as a managerial prospect afterward?
I mean, Sizemore as opposed to one of like Grifols, like either top lieutenants or in the case of like Tozar, Eddie Rodriguez, people he's been working with for decades across multiple organizations, or Charlie Montoya, someone who was brought in by the previous front office and kind of an arranged marriage. I get that in terms of somebody they're kind of more lockstep with. You know, Grady Sizemore is super tight with Josh Barfield, who kind of got him into coaching. I understand that they view that as maybe a less weird lame duck or arranged marriage status the rest of the season, even though it's, you know, not the level of experience that you typically associate with managers. I guess there's more clarity, and in terms of like Getz really wanting to stake out as a tent and wanting to run a manager search and having his own list of candidates that he already had in mind. I think basically what we've seen over the last couple of years of White Sox employee decisions is if you provide ownership the option to stand pat and not do a search and just keep the guy in house already, that might be what they lean to. And so if you have a real mind to hire someone from outside the organization, someone who's currently working and not someone who you're going to coax out of retirement, staking out those terms as early as definitively as possible increases your probability of realizing that. But as we well know, it would not guarantee that of happening.
How, if everything were to go really well, would you imagine that the White Sox could dig themselves out of where they're at organizationally?
To what degree? I think to be a team, you know, they talk about in terms of like, we want to compete in the AL Central again, or just simply not in a permanent down cycle. Sure. To kind of fulfill the promise of the rebuild in 2017, where they're going to be waves and waves of talent and perennial contenders and multiple championships, I don't see how they become one of those elite heavy hitter organizations. And frankly, you know, kind of asking what them at the time back in 2019, like, what do you think your competitive advantage over teams like the Dodgers, which are where you're going to compete with if you're saying you're going to do multiple championship runs? I don't know if they had a vision for that at the time. So how do they get back to that point? I don't know. I think that they have to become a fundamentally just different organization, some standpoint where they have a higher budget, whether that's, you know, revenue from, a new stadium or, just a different owner, I think is the kind of point we're winding to, eventually. That's probably what needs to, some sort of larger systemic change, certainly something far bigger than a managerial change is what we're talking about when we're saying like, can they be compete with the Dodgers and Braves and Yankees and Red Sox on a regular basis? Yeah, that seems like not something that can be achieved by just Skip Shoemaker. But as far as like getting back to a team that's like not the dregs of, you know, a bad division, certainly having a better year than most this year, I think that can become with like, you know, just building up a large prospect base and having communication between the manager and the general manager that makes sense. Achievable, but not what anyone was dreaming of or what was sold back in 2016, 2017.
I've let that dream go because I think that, you know, the architects of it are even gone. So it doesn't make sense to hold them to that vision. But
I think it's still a good idea for a team to think that we should be one of the dominant teams in the league.
I agree.
Yes. Yes.
I agree too. With that. But that's why I'm wondering how long does something like this, because this, it seems to me, James, and you would know better, that this is something that doesn't change without there being a huge expenditure of money for major league talent. And there's been, with this current ownership group, there really hasn't been a time when they did that. So if you're going to try and do it from a trade and minor league point of view, that feels like it's going to take a really long time to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when does the money come is kind of the question. And, you know, they're mid-level teams, and certainly this team has gotten up to, like, 190 in payroll in the past. If you support that with, like, a really great, like, homegrown core, like, that's, you know, viable for making the playoffs or, you know, making a run of some kind. But when would this core be ready? Certainly in the Cease trade talks, it seemed like they were targeting a lot of people double A or higher, and that was like the bulk of that return that made you think that they're eyeing something more in like the 2-year window. But that was really hard to get kind of the positional talent that they wanted that ready. Teams weren't really pry that. So you saw this deadline, which I think was underwhelming as a whole, a lot more A-ball guys. And, you know, I'm watched, you know, talked to people about him and read reports. I like Haral Perez, but that guy's in low A and he's 19 years old. So I think even if you centered everything around like Colson Montgomery and Edgar Caro and Brian Ramos, those are guys who will probably debut, you know, if one of them cracks through like this season, that would be crazy, but probably debut next season would be their rookie years. And then it's 1 or 2 years before you really think like they're really hitting their stride and peak. And if that's, you know, how long it takes to really get your core up and running, then we're talking about like this team maybe not being super relevant until like 2027, at least in terms of like a national scale or talking about winning a division. So yeah, without money, and I think at the very least a reasonable expectation is that the homegrown core would be the forefront and the money is kind of supplementing it. It seems like it could be 3 years away in terms of really talking about this team. Like what can they assert themselves on the national stage and be a heavy hitter in the playoffs.
So who wants the managerial job then? With everything you just said, I am staying so far away from this. You have to be the youngest, hungriest, or the oldest, most desperate to even want a second meeting if they're not going to pay a premium. Like, why should I have this aggravation? Why do I want to run your baseball team? And if you say, look, there's a number on this piece of paper that says why, then we're talking. But other than that, like a buy-in or a fit or a true believer in this, that's why it's going to be somebody who has to be another one of these insular hires, because anybody else from the outside is going to look at this and be like, yeah, no, thank you.
I mean, I thought it was telling that Chris Getz like referenced Stephen Vogt, because not because they're going to, you know, poach away Stephen Vogt, but, you know, that's new to managing, you know, not necessarily going to get this opportunity at a legacy organization without maybe more time in the coaching ranks. Someone who's not going to command like a 5-year deal the way, you know, as ESPN Jesse Rogers, you know, I think adeptly asking if that's something that would, if they would go beyond their traditional 3-year offer to really make a bid that contends for like the top managers in the game. That sort of mold of like, let's find an up and coming managerial prospect and hope we like, you know, hit blackjack on it, I think would be something more in their range. But it's funny, I've criticized this organization for kind of the way they spend. They can only shop top of the market at like these lower cost positions. Like we can get a really expensive closer because that basically costs like the price of an average right fielder. Manager is one of the spots where spending at the top of the scale is cheaper than trying to like, you know, sign Juan Soto. So you think like the White Sox are usually advantageous, like, well, we're going to go above market for Cuban amateurs in the market because that, you know, doesn't cost as much as like, you know, spending top in free agency. You can spend top in managers and not, you know, what you spend $40 million, which is like, you know, kind of a number four starter on the free agency market. It's cheaper to get a, like a top flight manager. It costs about as much as like signing Michael Wacha in free agency. So you'd think it'd be something that they could put up their sleeve, but I would especially, you know, I think more try to find a top prospect who's excited to get his first opportunity and the managing gigs, which, you know, you'd think would be maybe Grady Sizemore, but they've kind of already eliminated him to more of the let's target a top bench coach in the organization, or let's try to get, you know, Skip Schumacher as he's, you know, becoming kind of flukily available.
It sounds like to me that you're going to see the manager change dugouts tonight. You know, Craig Counsell to the White Sox confirmed. Thanks, James. We appreciate you breaking it down for us.
I guess like the previous thing I staked my reputation on my own podcast is that Chris Flexen is a primetime performer. So maybe this is like less out of the box than that, but still, please put in the newspaper that I was mostly kidding.
We will. Dan, you know anyone at the newspaper?
No, I think that was a drill tweet reference. That's awesome. That's outstanding. Please don't put in the newspaper that I'm mad.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.